That's a good thing if you're divinely dissatisfied. It's a good thing that God's dealing with you. He often puts that hunger in your heart. So if that's you today, can we pray for you? Will you just lift your hand up? Hi. Got one there. Thanks, Mike. I got another one here. Got there. Okay. In the back. Okay. Well, glory to God. I don't want to embarrass you, but could you just stand up? We're just going to release the body to gather around you and pray for you. If you lift your hand, come on. There you go, Dan. Come on out of the room back there. We got to put more chairs out. Martin, did you raise your hand? Come on up. The rest of you, could you please activate and get up and get around some of these folks and begin to pray with them? Ask them for some information. And guys, if you feel comfortable, share that with them. If not, then they'll just pray in the Spirit over you. We got Mike, got Martin over here. Who else do we have? Huh? Got you. Okay, come on out. I'm going to need some worship team people to come pray. Come on. Hallelujah. Has everybody got someone praying for them right now? All right, just go here. Could you go to Martin? These guys right here, pray for them. Thank you right there. Pray. Ask God for wisdom. If you get a word, give it to them. Let them judge it. A lot of transition. Go right back there and pray for that couple. Right in there, right there. Yeah. Just go ahead. Ask God for breakthrough. They need breakthrough. Ask God for breakthrough. We don't want to rush through this. This is body ministry. Hallelujah. As you pray for them, get some feedback. You may need to pray again. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord, more. Bring wisdom, bring insight, bring revelation knowledge, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for those family situations. We ask for breakthrough. Let humility and grace prevail. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Three. know if we have enough, but thank you, Lord. Side on these. Let's see.
All right, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take all the time you need. We're not going to rush through this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. All right, guys. Lord, we just pray that you seal the words of prayer, the prayers that have been spoken and the words of encouragement and strength that's been given. Just have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen. Well, get on up and greet each other for a few more minutes. I think there's some more coffee back there. We will be having some little goodies starting pretty quick here. Got a hostess person that hostess for the mostest is going to be bringing in fruit and all kind of good stuff. So go greet one another. Get up and go greet one another for a few minutes. And grab another cup of coffee. Fellowship. Minutes. Go see. If you don't know someone, go introduce yourself. Hug in. Give them a holy handshake or a holy kiss, whichever you prefer. Grab that last cup of coffee. And yes, you can bring your coffee into the sanctuary or the room, whatever you want to call it. So,
Earl, get a candle.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Are you? Come on in. Our bathrooms are just one-seaters, so sometimes it takes a little more time to get through all of that, so we're glad that you're here. Kim and Martin won the lottery. Gay bought a new Chevelle SS 1972 car, so Nobody's listening to me, so. All right. I think it's cowbell time. Uh-huh, you get on back in here. That's your bell. Come on back in. It works every time. All right, kids, you're dismissed to kids' church. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Go on back there and learn how to walk in the goodness of God, Lordship of Jesus, and He sets you free. Hallelujah. Is this a two cowbell service here? Am I going to have to ring it again or what? It works that way, doesn't it? I love it when the people of God fellowship and hug on each other and get to pray for one another. It's just part of the kingdom life. So we're glad that you're here today. We set out more chairs. We realize that we may be having to look for another place soon. So just keep that in your prayers. If you happen to have like maybe $2.3 million laying around, just go ahead and give it. We'll buy the property and build. So, you know, why not? I don't know why not. So anyhow, praise the Lord. We want to receive our morning's tithe and offering. If you, I'm asking you, please, to not just throw cash in there. We have an envelope. We need your name so that we can enter it into the books correctly and keep Mr. IRS happy. So it's getting crazier and crazier, the stuff that they're requiring us to do these days. So anybody need an envelope? Good to have Marilyn back in town today. Good to have you, Marilyn. Bless you. Amen. Marilyn says she finally heard the voice of God and decided to come back to Lexington. Or was that Kathy? No, Kathy, you said that, didn't you? Anybody else? We got back here, or not back there. Thank you. Thank you for giving. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. You know, you guys realize that just, you know, the money that we give is just an expression of our faith. Because the truth is that we put ourselves in the offering because He's totally worthy of our lives and all that He's done for us. Forgiven us of our sins and dying on the cross for our sins and making us right with Him, and so we can have a relationship with God of the universe. Amen. And then He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says that He makes His abode with us. And that'll blow your mind. So that you carry around God's Spirit inside of you. So in other words, there's no reason why we shouldn't be walking victoriously. Amen. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. John 10:26-27. Isn't that cool? We get to hear Him. And He tells us all kind of good stuff. So I'm keeping talking because she's writing her check, and I don't want to interrupt it. So. They teach you that in seminary. Never interrupt somebody writing it. No, I'm teasing. They don't do that. I'm teasing. A lot of stuff that you learn in seminary is not applicable to real life in the kingdom. So, amen. But amen. Thank you, Lord. You ready? You going to put the whole checkbook in there? Oh. just sign them. We'll take care of the rest of them. It says, I'm teasing. Father, we just thank You so much for Your love and mercy. We thank You for what You're doing in the earth today. I'm just so caught up what You're doing in Cuba. I just got back. Man, You are moving in a powerful way there. And I come home, God, to America, and we're so blessed, Lord. We're so blessed. And sometimes it causes us to keep our focus off of You because of the blessings of God. I call it redemption lift, that we've just been so lifted by Your goodness and mercy that the enemy will come in and cause us to keep our eyes off of the kingdom and not put Your kingdom first. Father, we ask that You purge us from that. There's so many in the world today that You're doing such a powerful job and a powerful work through Your church. And Cuba certainly is one of those places. I personally believe that they will soon be sending out missionaries into the Caribbean and literally around the world and even to the United States. So, Lord, take this money, bless it, bless the giver, and use this money, Lord, to send forth the good news of your gospel and your love. And, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to partner with you on planet Earth, and we ask for more in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may receive that, Earl. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Please silence your cell phones.
Yeah. I started hearing country music when I was praying just then. Hallelujah. I was at a conference one guy time, and the speaker forgot to silence his cell phone. His phone rang. So he stops the whole conference. There's like 1,500 of us. Picks his phone up and talks to the person. No, yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing regular. Yeah, I'm preaching right now. Yeah, like right now. Uh-huh. Yeah, about 1,500 people. Yeah. Yeah, I should go. Probably I should go. Well, you have freedom in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We got some announcements, obviously. Usually I forget all of them. This is our month where we're praying, and also you have the opportunity to fast. Want to thank everyone for coming out. We pray on Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Monday is from 5 to 7. If you can't stay the whole time, that's fine. Just come and leave as you can. Wednesdays is 7 to 8, and Saturday is from 9 to 11, with the exception of the last Saturday of every month. We always pray from 9 to noon on the last Saturday of the month. God's really been sharing some good words with us. He's also come with his purging fire, where God's given us opportunity to repent of some selfish attitudes and things of that nature. But he's also filling us with his goodness and mercy. And I just want to encourage you, first of all, thank you for coming out. If you hadn't had an opportunity to do that, please come on out. It's a great time to get together and to pray for one another and to hear from God. And I just want to encourage you for that. We also have a men's meeting coming up. I did have a thing. Where did I put it? Oh, it's March the 18th. Brother Franco. Franco was the guy that I hooked up with several years ago from Miami. And Franco's coming up. We're planning another trip into Cuba. Also, I'm working with Dr. John Powell. He's a MD guy. And we're tentatively starting to work into going into Trinidad. We've been asked by several of the churches there to come and set up schools and training centers in conjunctions with the denominations that are coming together. God's doing a powerful work there. So be in prayer about that. I'll give you the dates. It's sometime in the summer. We're still kicking around dates and stuff, so we're excited about that. Men's meeting on the 18th of March at 6 p.m., going to be slow cooking some meat and stuff of that nature. And then Franco's going to come and share a word and pray with us and pray for just an impartation. A powerful man of God, loves Jesus. I'm trying to get Mark Ingram. He's running back for the New Orleans Saints. I'm trying to get him to come. And what we want to do is have an outreach into the parks with him. I met him on my first trip in the Cuba. I'm not a big football fan, and my hypocrisy is I didn't, cheer for the Falcons until they were in the Super Bowl. So, I've just been so disappointed with the Falcons over the years that I just quit even watching them. It was one of those type of things. But anyhow, I met him. I didn't even know who he was. I just thought he was a guy that ripped up trees for a living. He's huge, And then I learned that he was a running back for NFL and New Orleans Saints, and it was kind of like, well, shoot, man, I've been with a sports celebrity the whole time I'm in Cuba. But we had the privilege of, Franco and I had the privilege of laying hands on him and seeing God fill him with the Holy Ghost down in Cuba and Havana, and he's been growing ever since, and some doors have opened for Franco to go into some of these NFL teams as a chaplain, invitation to go and share the gospel. But I mean, God's doing a lot of stuff. I mean, just a lot of stuff there. And we're excited about that opportunity to pray with me that he wants to do it, but obviously it's just a time frame. And so pray with me. I'd love to have him out in one of the parks and cook some hot dogs and hamburgers, love on those kids, share the goodness and love of God with them, and who knows what God may will do with that. But it starts with the men's meeting on the 18th. So mark that in your calendar. I don't know what else I got. Anything else, Earl?
Throne Room is Friday night here from 7 to 8. It's a time just to come and to soak and to listen and to get cleansed and to hear. We had an awesome word come forth last Friday night.
Amen.
about I don't know how many of you saw it on our Facebook page, but the crux gist of that was that we should lay aside our adult selves with our adult cares and worries and come to Him like little children in childlike faith so that He can encourage us, reinforce us, basically, and just love on us, because after all, it's the love of the Father that saved the world. And so that came out of our time of just worship, and it was an awesome word, and I'm grateful to the person that shared that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I won't name names. Aaron. So, are there any other announcements?
I think Jean has.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if anybody has opportunity to come to the prayer and fasting on Thursday and Friday this week, I have. I'm not working those 2 days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I was just going to say that I'll open up the church at around 6 o'clock Thursday and Friday. So this way, 6 and, oh yeah, a.m. if I open.
Yeah, that's the a.m. Yeah. So if you want
to. That's for you early birds.
Yeah, if you want to come in early and pray, it's a great time to come and pray. We'll have soft music playing, worship music. You can come and get your motor running and then go to work and share the goodness and love of God as well. So. This 18th, we're the Valdosta campus. We're trying to get the two campuses together eventually, but on the 18th, which is Saturday, is that next? Yeah, it's this Saturday. We're having what we call a treasure hunt, where we pray and ask God to show us, number one, where we're supposed to go, number two, who we're supposed to pray for, and number three, what we're supposed to pray for. So we're having some really great results up there. It's just growing. And it's just the power of the Holy Ghost. We had a powerful testimony last week of a young lady that, you know, made some bad choices, i.e. sinned, and so she got addicted to crack cocaine, and we've been ministering to her, got her into a facility there called Evans Memorial Camp or Facility for Women. It's an in-house treatment she got, and it's all Christian-based. I love them. I mean, they're just doing a powerful job. She got cleaned up, and God filled her with His precious Spirit, and that's a wild woman for Jesus right now. I mean, she's just going full steam ahead, and it's not just that. I could go on and on, and I'm not even be able to preach the Word, but what we're hoping is to get the two campuses together. I'm thinking maybe halfway between maybe Lake Park. We'll find us a facility there. So, you know, they'll drive 20 minutes. Of course, we'll have to drive a little extra, maybe 30, 35. And just have a good old Holy Ghost blowout service up there. That would be great. Maybe have a special speaker come in or something of that nature. So be praying about that. If you want to go, you can. You can ride with me or follow me up to Valdosta, and then we'll have our prayer outreach there, praying for people. Many of you know we do this regularly. We've seen people come to know the Lord. We've just seen some powerful stuff. We're God touching people. And the main thing that we want, whoever we pray for, the main thing that we desire is that when we leave them and get through ministering to them, is that they know that God loves them. And that the God of the universe stopped them and stopped us and prayed for a need that oftentimes it's called a word of knowledge, that you move in a word of knowledge when you pray. And we've just seen all kind of good stuff that's happened from those treasure hunts, and that's why we keep doing them. We will have one here, probably in March, because we've got so much stuff with the prayer and fasting that's going on. So please keep listening and keep checking the Facebook page, because we use that as our announcement. And I know we have some older folks here, which I won't comment on, but please get a Facebook thing just to check the pages. I mean, because I don't like repeating myself 400 times. If you just check the Facebook page, all the announcements are there, all right? So say yes, Pastor Terry. Okay, very good, very good. So anything else, Earl, you got?
I'd like you all to welcome two couples that are visiting with us this morning, and God forbid I don't remember anybody's name, but we have a young couple here who are friends of Josh. He got out and drug them in here. He invited them, you know. So he's, as a relative newcomer, Josh is setting the example for all us old fogies to go out and invite. But just look at what's happening, you know. I mean, I got up to 50 before I lost count this morning. And there's some youngins in the back that haven't been counted. So, you know, praise God for that.
Hallelujah. But this
here's
is our gift,
a gift
to you.
For you as
it's $200 million
visitors.
To help
yes,
you pay
absolutely.
Your house. And stuff. No, it's a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. So go have a cup of coffee on
there's
us.
There's an Iliano's right across the street.
It's our way of saying thank you
here.
For coming.
And I believe that it's open, right. But that should be good
it's
at any Iliano's.
It's for first-time visitors, so you won't get one next time you come. Just let you know that. So. But it's our special gift to you for saying thank you for coming. So we want you to come back. We got a great kids ministry, great prayer ministry, and some other stuff that's going on. Most importantly, we serve a wonderful God, and He loves us so much. Let me give you the gospel real quick, just in case you're not a believer this morning. Number one, the scripture tells us that we're all sinners. Anybody here not a sinner? Anyone here that hasn't made a mistake in your life? All right, that's called sin, and it's the Bible says it separates us from the love of God, and because God's a holy and just God, not because He's mad at us, but because He's a holy and just God, and He can't deny who He is, so it separated us from God. But He loved us so much, He said, I can't let my people be separated from me, so He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He became our substitute, and He took our sins upon Himself, and then He gave us His righteousness. In other words, He opened up the relationship back with God. And then on the day of Pentecost, He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we have... I want you to think about this just for a moment. We now have a relationship with the God of the universe. That He loves us so much. That's what He did for us, to take care of the issue, the sin issue that separated us from Him. And it's just really good to be back in relationship with Him. You get your prayers answered. That's kind of nice. He guides you and He directs you and all kind of good stuff. He blesses you. He's a good God. Somebody look at you. Look at your neighbor and say, He's a good God. Oh, come on now. Look at your other neighbor and say, He's talking to you. There you go. He's a good God. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Oh, cutting that? Okay. So that's the gospel kind of in a nutshell. If you're not right with God, it just takes a moment. I'll give you an opportunity later on before we go home today just to pray a prayer of asking Jesus to come into your life and forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you. And then we'll pray with you and He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. It's pretty cool. It's kind of simple. It has to be simple for me to do it. It just opens up your future. It really does. Everybody has a past, and I can't do one thing about your past. Your mama can't do one thing about your past. But Jesus can open up your future for you. Amen? So that's it. That's kind of it in a nutshell. And we're going to look at some other stuff today. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go there today. You know, I do a lot of traveling, and I'm blessed to be able to do that. I'm very, very grateful for it. I have more invitations than what I can do. And the whole reason why you're here is that we really want to train you and activate you and get you secure in your relationship with God and then release you to go do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4. You too can travel the world. Teach and preach the gospel, love on people, and you can also go across the street and love on your neighbor too. So I love what I do. I just absolutely love what I do. Monday mornings do not bother me none of the days bother me. I just love what I do. I mean, even today I got up and my coffee maker at home wasn't working. And I just looked at it and said, you don't bother me. You know, I just went and got another cup of coffee someplace else, you know. God is good and the devil is bad, and that's good theology right there. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to tell you. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Man, if there's one thing that I really hammer in the classes that we have, and especially with new believers, is this whole concept of, who are you? Or as the younger generation would say, who's your daddy? You know, who are you? Who's your daddy? And I even in my own self, when I find myself thinking in a way that I know that doesn't reflect royalty. Are you a prince and princess, or are you a pauper? And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, to renew your mind, to renew your thinking. When you're born again, I talked a little bit about it earlier, but what happens is when you confess your sins and you ask the God to forgive you and for the Spirit of God to come and to live inside of you, to take up His abode, ask for a relationship. There's many ways you can say it, but when that happens, the Scripture says that you are born again, that behold, all things become new. I love, you know this, I think I've said this. If I have, just act like you hadn't heard it. But anyhow, I love when I was young, 18 and 19, and I knew the call of God was on my life, and I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. Of course, some of you may say you don't have a whole lot of knowledge now. But anyhow, I would go into the jails. And the reason why is because I knew how, it didn't matter how bad I was, they couldn't leave. They lock you in there with those guys, you know. And over time, I would say to them, as I would go into a new facility or a new state prison, I'd go in and I'd say, anybody here would like to start over? And every time, every hand in the place would go up. Man, if I could just take those words back, if I could take those actions back, I would love to start over. Here's the good news. In Christ, you get a brand new life. In Christ, the old passes away. And behold, He says, the new come. The Greek word there literally means to become someone you weren't before. Brand new. Starting over. Fresh. Alive. You once were bound in sin and deception. But when Christ invades your life, He comes in. He doesn't come in piecemeal. He brings the whole kit and caboodle. Everything that you need, the Scripture says, for life and for godliness, He provides for you and I. So why is it that, and I'm talking to us, you know, we're charismatics, part of the Pentecostal revivals of days gone by. Why is it that so many of us are walking beneath the identity of being a son and daughter of God? Why is it that we allow the things of the world to The Moffat translation says that it squeezes you into its mold instead of understanding that you're a son or a daughter of the living God. That things happen because of the fact that you have been, the word actually, and we'll look at it here in just a minute hopefully, you've been adopted. We got anybody here today that's been adopted? Huh? Well, it happens. You know, you've been adopted into the family of God. And all the rights and privileges thereby are yours. The problem is that we need the train. I used to have an old seminary professor. He said, we need the train O Dum Dum up here about the privileges of walking with God in His kingdom. Now, God is sovereign. That, in other words, that's a fancy word which means He can do whatever He wants to do. But the Scripture says that He has chosen to partner with you and I to express His purposes in the earth today. That's what it's all about. And that your steps and my steps are ordered, you know, of the Lord. I think I told you last week my car died. Actually, it was Jesse's. And so I had to go call the wrecker to come up, and the guy by the name of Art got out. Art got out and started limping. He come up to the car, and when I saw the limp, I went, hmm. Because you see, I've been commanded to heal. Jesus said, go heal the sick. And so I've just gotten to a place where when I see the need, I just move on it. And, unless, of course, they tell me no, not to pray for them, then obviously I honor their wishes. So when we got back, he was there. And, you know, this, I don't think this is going to offend anybody, but this is pretty much redneck country. All right? This is, you know, we're pretty much, someone once said, I was talking to my seminary professor, and he was talking the different stuff. And when I got up, I preached like it was a homiletics class. I just preached like they were all rednecks. And he flunked me. And he said, man, I ain't heard anything like that. I said, well, you don't live where I live. You know, one of the first things that they teach you is consider the context of the people that you're preaching to. And so he got done. He delivered my car, and I walked up to him. And the word Christian these days sometimes carry a negative connotation because all the stuff that you see on TV. So I got to where I just walk up and say, I'm a Jesus follower. He said, Jarrell, is that a Christian? I said, yeah. I said, I want to pray for your leg. I said, would you allow me to pray for your leg so that maybe God will touch it and heal you? And he said, yeah. Of course, you know, he took his hat off and covered his heart, and he allowed me to, you know, pray for him. I gave him a card. I hadn't heard from him yet, but I'm going to call him up this week. So that was a divine appointment. There was a day when I would just look at that and go, well, God bless you. I hope you get better. But now, see, there's a royal mentality that is coming into the body of Christ. You represent the King. Let that sink in just for a moment. We represent the King. You represent Him. All the rights and privileges thereby are yours. The royal priesthood. I wrote it down, so I just want to read what I got. A royal prerogative. It's exclusive rights, privileges, etc., exercised by virtue of rank, office, or the like. It's a right and privileges limited to a specific person or persons of a particular category. It's a power of a sovereign government that's given to a representative. Amen. The kingdom of God, Romans, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's given that to you and I. You and I get to walk with the King of Kings. It's a royal identity. The more I walk with God, and some of you heard this before, but the more when I view sin, it's not something like, oh, I shouldn't do that because I'm not supposed to do those things. Because see, when you have a royal mentality and the blood of Christ is flushing your mind and your body and you're walking in fellowship with Him, you look at it and go, that's beneath me. That ain't who I am. I don't do that stuff. Did I tell you about meeting one of President Carter's department heads on an elevator? We were in a conference in Atlanta. Of course, I'm dating myself, President Carlos. Some of you young guys are going, President who? But he happened to be there. We didn't know he was there. And we were there for a pretty big conference. And so we, you know, we were like on 4, whatever it was, 18 or whatnot. And so we were coming down. And you never get to come all the way down. It's like 18, 15, 12. You always stop. And so we stopped. It stopped, and the door opened. There was President Carter with the Secret Service around him. And so I said something really intelligent. I said, you're President Carter. He walked in, the Secret Service guy. The Secret Service guy was going. He said, hello. You know, it's kind of like, that's my moment of fame, you know. I was in the presence of the president. Well, you know, it's kind of like, Of course, they ragged me about, that was really stupid what you just said. I mean, he knows he's President Carter. Yeah. And then 2 days later, he had one particular floor. It was all his. The only room occupied was him and his staff. And a couple of days later, we were getting on, and I almost recalled his name. He's like the Secretary of State or some kind of like that. He gets on, and we're riding down, and so he tries to talk to us, And I knew who he was, but this time I was smarter. I didn't say his name. And he looked at us, he said, what you boys doing? And he says, I said, well, I looked around and the other ones were too, they didn't want to talk. I said, well, we're getting ready to leave. We've been at a conference. And he said, oh, what kind of conference? And I said, well, it's a Christian conference on leadership and also networking with other churches. And he said, oh, okay. And so he said, well, y'all checked out? I said, yes, sir, we're getting ready to check out. And he said, so did you steal the towel? The towels. I looked at him and I said, sir? He said, did you steal the towels? I said, no, sir. We don't do that. Do you? See, it wasn't in me. Not only because I'm a born-again believer, but I was raised that way. You don't steal. And I'm looking at this official going, and you're leading the government. I got to pray for him, for us. You see, there's a royalty that's in you that defines the way you act and live in the earth today. Being adopted into the family of God. It's actually a doctrine. It's a wonderful doctrine that we are kids of the King. And we get to represent Him. It's not an effort, oh, I have to do this right. It's because He sent His Spirit inside of us. And as the gospel says, a little leaven leavens the whole thing. And after a while, you're just filled with the goodness of God, and your thinking is being constantly renewed, particularly if you read the book. Here's a good revelation knowledge for you. Read the book. It's got a lot of good stuff in there about the kingdom and about what it means to be a son and daughter of the living God and the privileges that come to that. I want to get to that in just a second. A mind of royalty. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn on your page-turning apps on your phones. I like hearing the page turns. Somebody, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It talks about this great stuff, and I'll just take, you know what, we'll just make this a series. I'll pick up wherever I am. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not a wisdom of this age nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden mystery which God ordained before the ages for our glory. All right, he goes on, he says, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, here it is, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Ready? Listen to this. But God, somebody say, but God, has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, all right, but the Spirit who is from God. Here it is. Listen to this. That we may know the things that have been freely given to us. There's that relationship. That's what happens when you get born again. He comes and lives inside of us so that we may freely know the things that He's given to us. Now it makes sense to want to spend some time with Him. Now, devotion life is not something that you do. It's something that you enjoy. Because it's in those moments where God reveals things to you about Himself and about issues in your life. Here's the deal. Ready? He listens to your prayers and He answers them. How's your prayer life? I'm telling you, if it's kind of dull and gray, it ain't God. It really is. It's not God. His heart, He says, ask and you receive. Knock and the door, but seek and you're going to find. He does not lie. He does those things for you and I. The problem for so many of us is when we ask, we really don't believe. And the reason for that is because, or I should say one reason, is because we don't have the royal identity of I belong to the Son of God. I am a son of the living God. I represent Him on planet Earth. And He has freely given me these things. Let me give you some benefits real quickly. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Yes, it does. Galatians chapter 3. I want you, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down in your notes. Privilege. Privilege. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. For you, it says in verse 26, you are all sons, i.e. daughters, of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many that have of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are in Abraham's seeds and the heir according to the promise. Back up to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. A familiar passage of Scripture with you, but it's a powerful verse. Chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. You were given the right to become a son and daughter of the living King. Now, just let that begin to sink in. The kingdom of heaven, I wrote in my notes here, is a parliament of emperors, a commonwealth of kings. Every humble saint in the kingdom is co-heir with Christ and has the robe of honor and a scepter of power and a throne of majesty and a crown of glory. It's an ever-increasing glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why it's so exciting to walk with God. Because you're learning more every day. And it's not an academic learning. If your interpretive paradigm doesn't include the experience of what you're learning, you're really not learning. You've got to experience it. You know, you just got to experience. When repair guys come to my house, whether it's the wash machine or lately I've been watching, you know, them repair I got an 18-year-old AC, you know, so that it gets repaired regularly. But I watch them. You know why? Because I'm cheap. Because the next time it breaks, I want to repair it myself. And how do I do that? I watch. I get involved. And I say, can I take that off? Oh, yeah, here. He has them. I'll take it off. You know, screw it off. I begin to experience repairing something. Last time, I helped him take off the big fan thing that we broke. Sean came by and diagnosed it for me. But see, it's the whole concept. The problem, like back in the Middle Ages, there was this era called the Scholastic Era. And it was all cerebral. And that's why God raised up Jacob Spengler and the Pietists and the Quakers And anybody, all these people that God is always raising up from the fringes even, people that has a heart for Him to experience Him in their lives so that they can rightly represent Him in the world today. If I talk you into getting saved and wanting to follow Jesus, 2 weeks later I'm going to have to talk you into it again. But if I share the gospel with you and the Spirit of God comes and begins to convict you of your sin and fills you with His precious Spirit, all argument ceases. This is good. I had one guy I led to the Lord a couple of weeks ago. He said, "This is better than sex." I said, "Well, okay." I love this young generation, man. What you see is what you get. Privilege. Go ahead and try to walk into the White House this week. See how far you get. You watch it on TV, these people that jump the fence and stuff, and you go, "Where did these guys come from?" It's like they pop up out of the dirt and run to the guy, you know. It's like, I didn't even know they were there, you know. But you know, Barron, you know Barron Trump, the young guy, the young man, yeah. You know what he does? He just walks in. Because he has the privilege of sonship with the president. They don't check him. Well, they may look at him, obviously, and say, "Yep, that's Barron, let him through." They may even say hello to him. But he just walks right on where everybody else, you'd be fortunate to make 10 steps and hopefully you'd just be in cuffs and not dead. Privilege. You know my story. I shared it with you. I cut my teeth on the Spirit of God, but when I was 17 or 18, I got saved and as a young man and came home late one night and it was a heavy scent of cigarette smoke in the house. And at the time, my brother smoked, and I thought maybe he had just left. And it was dark, and I walked through the kitchen, and I fell over a chair, and I thought, "That sorry rascal brother of mine, he left the chair out there on purpose." And I fell over it, and you know, it was like, rah, rah. You know, I got up and put the chair back, and kept thinking, "Well, Tony must have just left. I mean, this cigarette smoke's really bad, you know." And I got to the hallway where the sliding door to the formal living room was, and then right across the way was the first bedroom. And out stepped these two guys, one with a sawed-off shotgun and another one with a .44 Magnum, nickel-plated. I still remember it. One of them shoved it in my gut, and the other one put the other one in my mouth, slammed me up against the wall. Being the young man of faith and power that I was, I yelled. I was brand new. Been baptized in the Holy Ghost. It took me 2 weeks to finally find somebody to tell me what happened to me, because they don't do that in the Baptist church where I was from. And fortunately, I had that knowledge in me. And let me tell you something, guys. Listen, this is privileged. This is the privilege of being a king's kid. God spoke to me. It was so loud, I thought it was audible. Matter of fact, when I finally got back to my parents, I said, "Did you hear that?" And they said, "No, well, we didn't hear anything." What? And this is what he said to me, still etched in my heart. "My son, when Father God calls you son, something in you goes, yeah." He said, "My son, I have all things in hand." I wish I could tell you that I wasn't filled with fear, because when you got a sawed-off shotgun in your gut and he's kind of lifting you up and you're dangling with your toes, it has a tendency to make you afraid. But in that moment, he hit me with his peace. It was like molasses coming all over me. And it's like my toes popped open and all the fear was running out of my feet. I was already kind of dangling, but I even went higher and lifted my hands and I shouted out, "Now, you don't have to believe me if you don't want to. Frankly, I don't care." But in that moment, when I worshiped God in my moment of need, based upon the fact that he said, I've got all this, buddy. Something hit those two guys, pushed them off of me 10 feet, and they dropped their guns down. And they were like in a drunken stupor. I was 17. I took my little bony 17-year-old finger. I pointed at that rascal and I said, you don't know who you're messing with. And I wasn't talking about me either. And I literally could have slapped them because they were like, and I was just filled with joy and love. And, so, and finally, after about, you lose track of time, maybe 15 or 20 seconds, they finally went, you seen that on cartoons, how they do that on cartoons? You know, they did that. And one of them said, go on back there to the bedroom with your mama. Man, I went to, it's just like, hey, glory to God. You know, then they threatened me. They said they cussed me. I learned cuss words. I did. And I was raised on a farm. I thought I knew all the cuss words. And man, they came after me. But you see, there was something in me. My daddy told me he's got this. My daddy told me he's got this. My daddy told me he got this. So I just, the one guy, he sat down and he started cussing me. And I'm going to kill you, this, that, and the other. And I said, good. Let me tell you about Jesus. He said, why? I said, well, you're going to kill me. You need to know. So, you know, I just shared my faith with him. I knew one Billy Graham sermon and one David Wilkerson sermon. That's all I knew. But I gave it to him, man, both barrels. He'd get so convicted, he'd get up and run to the other room where the other guys was. I can't sit back there with him. You know what was happening? They were getting convicted. And another one would come down, sit down, first thing out of his mouth, shut up and don't talk to me. I said, that ain't going to happen, buddy. You're in my house. He said, I want to hear nothing about God and that religious stuff. I don't want religion either. Pop, I'd start sharing my testimony to him. I'd give him David Wilkerson. I'd give him Billy Graham. He'd hop up, hopping, cussing, and running out. I mean, they literally run. I went through all four of them that way. God! Privilege! Stood before the grand jury. They called him, by the way. Stood before the grand jury. Got to testify to the grand jury. What did you do next? Well, then I shared about John 3:16. No. What did you do? Well, that's what I did next, you know. And then what did you do? Then I shared my okay, Mr. Shiver. First time I ever been called Mr. Shiver. I was just a punk kid. He said, okay, Mr. Shiver, we got that. Well, what else did you do? I said, sir, that's all I did. Now, let me get this right. It's because God spoke to you? Yeah, I said, well, it was more like he just hollered at me. It was so intense. It's in the records. Brooks County, Georgia, up in Georgia. It's in the records. We haven't done this before, you know. It's a privilege. Privilege. You know, I could bore you with this. A guy tried to mug me in L.A. Didn't work. God showed up, made him fall into the elevator. I pushed the button, he went upstairs. I'm telling you, there's something about the reality of God's love in your life that needs to penetrate all the hardness and the fallow ground and get into your thinking that you are a royal son and daughter of God and he loves you. Amen. And will take care of you. Now, I know there's martyrs. Matter of fact, there's been more martyrs today than there ever was in all of history combined. There's more martyrs today in the Christian faith that are giving their faith, that are giving their lives for the Christian faith. But you don't see them whining. Because they have. That's the second thing that I want you to get, is that they have this confidence toward God. Number one is privilege. Number two is confidence toward God. I don't understand. I mean, we got stuff going on in our life. I mean, many of you all know it. My son, Dustin, he's here with me today. And March the 21st of last year, he got hit by a car riding his bicycle. 80% of his brain's bleeding. They told us it wasn't going to, you know, pick out the casket, basically. And I thank God for medicine. I believe in medicine. I go to the doctor after I pray for 2 or 3 days if I'm not getting better. But let me tell you something. It's the confidence in God. God will give you confidence that he's moving on your behalf. And you know the story, and I won't go there, but he spoke to me that third day, Jeremiah 30, verse 17, where it says, "And I will heal your body and restore your bones." It's like the rod of God went down my back. I said, "Bring it. We ain't losing this fight." He's done everything that I've asked for him except give that boy a job. Somebody lift your hand and hold it out and say, "Give him a job, Jesus. God, that boy needs a job." What, Rick? Yeah, glory to God. There you go, Dusty. That's a good idea. Listen, confidence toward God comes because of the relationships that's there. He's a talking God. He speaks to you and I. You ask him a question and he will answer it. Now, it might not be like 3 seconds later, but he will answer it. He'll give you wisdom and guide you and direct you. Who wouldn't want this type of life? Who wouldn't want the King of the universe as your daddy? Confidence toward God. Deliverance, you're delivered from the bondage of sin. Condemnation is removed. Spiritual darkness is dispelled. And God's approval is upon your soul. Scripture talks about being sealed with the Spirit. And inside of you, your little spirit's going, "Abba, Abba, 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 Daddy, 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 Daddy." When my kids were little, it didn't matter who I was with, what I was doing. They'd run right in the room, get right in my lap. Didn't care how important the conversation was. Didn't matter if I was trying to get a loan from the bank, just right into my presence. Some of them would even run in my presence butt naked. Because he knew. I only have boys. I have five because we kept thinking the next one would be the girl, but somebody say, "Help that man." You know why they would do that? Because they knew that I loved them. My daddy, he's in heaven now. He's 92 when he went to heaven, almost 92. And my kids love to be around granddaddy. They call him Big Daddy. And right before he'd leave, he'd always pull out his wallet, start shelling out the greenback. And my kids would come with just pockets bulging. And look what Big Daddy gave me. I rolled my window and I said, "What are you doing there?" He said, "I just love your kids." And I thought to myself, "I wish you'd have loved me like that when I was growing up." I said, Listen, it's confidence toward God, being to come into his presence because you have privilege. It's stamped on your heart. I belong to him. He is mine and I'm his. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Now, I can do some stupid stuff. And stupid stuff, as Forrest Gump said, as stupid is, as stupid does. You understand what I'm talking about? But I will quickly, you know, I've never disobeyed God. Never. Disobeyed him, that he wasn't quick to convict my heart. Because he loves my relationship with him. Always my best. And over time, I've been doing this 20-something years, and over time I've learned, you know, his way is a whole lot better than mine. It's a whole lot better than mine. So I'm learning to listen. Confidence toward God. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Real quick, this will be my last point. No, it's next to the last point. Because I wanted to get to this last one. Because I think it's one of the heavy issues, or at least it was in my life. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one, and for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers." You see, there's this family thing that starts happening. There's a unity that comes in your mind and in your soul because of the knowing that you belong to the family of God. When my sons were growing up and getting on up into the teenage years, You know, we took them to church. I used to correct my children by not letting them go to children's church. They love children's church. And so, no, anything but that. We'll obey, we'll obey. I knew God was doing something in their hearts. But there's something that comes into our lives knowing that we're one with Him. I'm one with Him. Corinthians 6, see the first or second, I can't remember. It says that we're one spirit with Him. There's a unity there. Last of all, it's what I call proprietary rights. You know, when I was going to school this last time, I worked at Zaxby's. All of you heard most of my Zaxby stories. I learned how to cook chicken. I can cook chicken really good. And, of course, when you work with teenagers and you're an adult, it doesn't take much to get noticed, if you know what I mean. So they raised me on up to a manager. And I'd have people come in. One of the reasons I believe in the Adamic nature is because the Bible says it's there. But the other reason is because when you're in the public dealing with people, they can say some crazy stuff, you know. And had one person come in and brought this food back and said, I got home, this food's cold, I want another one. I said, so I looked at it and I said, so you went through the drive-thru? She said, yes. I said, how long did it take you to get home? 45 minutes. I said, well, generally speaking, it'll be cold by then if you don't eat it. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I can give you another one, and if you wait 45 minutes, it's going to be cold when you get home. So you need to sit down and eat it. Well, she went ballistic. I mean, crazy ballistic. I mean, like, I'm going, do I call this demon out now, or, you know, what do I do? And so she just finally said, I'm going to call the police. And I put my finger up like this. I said, let me do that for you. So I called the police. Came in, told him what happened. I know the police, all right, because I've called them a lot. So he hears my story, and he's got this face like, I can't believe that you just told me this and what's going on here. So he turns and said, well, ma'am, you can either eat it here or take it home and eat it cold. What would you like to do? You know, some of them, what do you call that thing when you take something out and they can't come on the property? You know, what's that called? A strain. I had to take restraining order out of them because they were crazy. He said, Ms. Shire, you want me to take him to jail? I said, no, just give me a restraining order. I don't want it. So I look at him and say, don't ever come back on this property again. I'm going to take my business elsewhere. Please do. Please do. You know why I could do that? I was the proprietor of that establishment. I had another guy come in, he's, you know, just fussing and cussing and just giving my, and I don't mind it, me, but when you start messing with my cashiers and they're like 17, 18 year olds and they're crying, we're fixing to have a prayer meeting. And so he came in and I said, sir, what's going on here? And she, you know, it was some kind of silly stuff that was going on. And I said, you know what? I think it's best that you just leave. You can't do that. That's discrimination. I said, you know, truthfully, I'm the proprietor of this establishment, and I can do anything I want, and I can refuse anybody I want to refuse to serve. I'm going to call the police. Let me do that for you. Let me do that for you. And so he came in. I tell him what happened. He looked at him. He said, you're going to have to leave. Well, that's discrimination. No, sir, it's not discrimination. It's just that you're rude and ugly and he don't want your business. So you either can leave now or you can leave in handcuffs. Which would you like? And most of them would just leave. Here's my point. Are we taking ownership of walking in the kingdom of God with the King of Kings? Do we take ownership of that? I've had shift leaders on me. They were just there for a paycheck. I could spot them a mile away. You know, when you've got a $125 knife and they're throwing it into the floor, they're not taking ownership. One of them did that, and I took it up, and I said, I want to go home with you tonight. He said, why? I said, don't you live with your mom? Uh-huh. I want to take this knife and throw it into her kitchen cabinets. Well, no, you can't do that. But you can do it here. And then, of course, I'd say, you know, this is a $150 knife, and you're ruining it, throwing it into this floor with cement. Are we living our lives as sons and daughters of God, where we take ownership of God's kingdom? You know, in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, I confer on you a kingdom. It's not just his kingdom, it's your kingdom. In whatever sphere or area that he's placed you to rule and reign. You remember the prodigal son? You remember that one, right? The guy just said, give me my inheritance. You know, I like the prodigal because he had the courage to say, give it to me. And the father's so good, he said, here. Went out and squandered it. Came back. God loved him so much, he accepted him, brought him back in, gave him the royal treatment. Why? Because he's a son. But there's so many in the church today, they're like the older son, and he gets mad, and he says, look, you know, he's out there running around, you know, I'll put it in today's vernacular, doing drugs and sex and all this other kind of stuff, and you kill the fatted calf for him. And there's a line in that passage of Scripture where the father looks at the son, the older son, and he said, son, all I have. What a statement. All I have is yours. I'd like first to hear that today. When it comes to being in the family of God, all that he has is ours. He doesn't hold back. You know, here's the kicker about the things of the kingdom of God. If you start walking in the kingdom of God, he gives you more. If you don't walk in the kingdom, what you had, he takes it and gives it to the guy or to the lady that's actually doing the stuff. You know why? Because he's the God that likes dividends. And he wants the kingdom to keep expanding through his people. My dad, when he died, I'll close with this. Before he died, excuse me, before my dad died, he set us all down. There's three of us in my family. And I noticed a guy was there, well-dressed, and I'm thinking, what the heck? And it was his lawyer. You know, I really didn't know the man that well. He sits down at the table and starts passing out these things. I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, this is my will. Oh, okay. Let's get into this. You know? So he goes through the will and literally just reads it to us. The lawyer did. And there's one little clause in the right toward the bottom of it, and it said this. And if any of my children disputes this will, they are automatically excluded from this will. When I read that, I looked up and I said, I like this will. I like it. And when he passed away and went to heaven, I got everything that was in that will. It was mine. I took it to the bank. I drove it home. Cleaned out the, Martin, you'd like this, cleaned out the tools. It was mine. How silly would it be for me to walk around talking about my inheritance and never got in that Prigian and drove it home, but just let it sit up there in equipment and say, I got a Prigian. That thing is Cadillac of the Pontiac line. Just the whole time, just say, I got a Prigian. People, finally, somebody that loved me would come to my house and say, where is it? You see, you have to receive and take ownership. what limits us from doing that? Number one is wrong thinking. That's based upon the things of the world and not the things of God, and particularly the Word of God. You don't know the Word well enough. That's why I said earlier, please read the book. It's a good book. Number two is deliberate rebellion against God, not cooperating with Him as it relates to Him wanting to clean you up and get you to a place where His goodness and mercy can just flow like a river in you and out of you. And number three, you don't come and get filled up regularly. That's why we have prayer and fasting. That's why we pray for one another. You don't take advantage of the inherent right of a brother that's got experience in that area that you're struggling with. You just need to tap into it and let Him impart to you what He's received from the Lord so you can have a full life as well. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. With every eye open and everybody looking around, if you're not right with God, would you just grace us with a hand that says, hey, I need to get right with God this morning? Anybody here not right with God? And you know it immediately because the Spirit would go, yep, that's you. Everybody good? Find a look, make sure. All right, number two is I want to pray for you today. I think that God wants to address some mind issues. A paradigm, which is a fancy word for the way you view life. He wants to change it from a worldly way to a biblical kingdom way. He wants to give you, he wants to answer Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 when he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart and mind would be enlightened so that you would know the hope of the calling for which He's placed within us. So today, if you're here and you're saying, hey, I need my brain scrubbed up just a little bit. We want to pray for you. We're going to do it corporately together. All right. I've got my hand up, which means I'm going to pray for myself because I don't know everything yet. Anybody here there's some areas that I'm struggling in, and I've got, okay, thank you. You got both hands up. Anybody else? All right, good. I like giving altar calls, and I like responses. All right. I guess that's the Southern Baptist in me. But. All right, good. Keep your hands up, all right? There you go. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the ever-increasing revelation of your love and mercy and your kingdom. We come confessing before you today that we don't know everything. And as much as we may know or as little as we may know, we still don't know everything. And we're asking that the Ephesian prayer that Paul prayed would be answered in our lives, and particularly with the way that we think. Lord, your word says, Paul says in Romans 12, to renew our minds. If you've been slack in reading the word regularly, I want you to just confess it to the Lord right now. You don't have to do it out loud, but just confess it. The very source of His wisdom is from His Word, His written Word, and then it will be by the Spirit speaking. Now ask Him to give you the grace. There was an old radio program called Walk Through the Bible. Ask Him to give you the grace to walk through the Scriptures with His Spirit so that He becomes your tutor and shows you great and marvelous things from His Word. And now, Lord, I thank you that that's a prayer you're definitely going to answer. And now, Lord, we ask for an expansion. You are infinite and we are finite. We ask for an expansion of our capacity to hear your voice and to implement what we're hearing from you. So we're going to need grace to do that. And we just thank you and we love you for that, Lord. We look forward to the testimonies of you moving in your people, each one of us, as well as moving in our culture, right here locally, South Georgia, North Florida. And then, Lord, Cuba, Trinidad, wherever else, India, looks like that's coming up, wherever else you may send us. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And let us be a people that walk with a royal mentality of belonging to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you agree with that, can you say amen? Amen. We'll hug somebody before you leave. We're so glad that you came. God bless you guys. Feel free to fellowship a few minutes.